The room central to the exhibit introduces cuttings, architectural cross-sections that more than his other works brought Matta Clark to the attention of the international art world. Cuttings are spectacular expressions of those reflections portrayed by Matta Clark around the An Architecture group. Here in the show, particular attention has been given to the first cuts realized right here in Italy, in Genoa and Milan. And it is not by accident that he sets off from Italy itself, a country to which Gordon is bound by family ties. His father's fourth wife is Italian. It was also here in Italy that Gordon received some of his first attention, with shows at Galleria Forma and Salvatore Alla dedicated to him as early as the beginning of the 1970s. And it is at Genoa that the first house he was to cross-section was entrusted to him, a simple structure, a perfectly built square house on which Gordon realizes the series Whole House. The project consists of two different cuts, which one can see in the model's cut drawings on the right wall of the gallery. The first is datum cut, a cut with parallel lines intersected by two diagonals that break the linear axis inside the building on its horizontal axis. To this operation corresponds on the external plane the section of one square from the top of the roof, which, once removed, presents itself like a perfect pyramid leaving the roof like a volcano cap. Again in Italy, Matta Clark creates infraforms and plans Arc de Triomphe, a memorial dedicated to the workers. On the left wall, you can see several drawings that show again the technical ability and the graphic skill of Matta Clark. He deals with the preparatory work for Arc de Triomphe, a monument that Gordon had wanted to realize in an abandoned factory in Milan, the same as in the photograph. With this monument, the artist was wanting to ennoble the building and the stories of the people who had worked there, pointing the light on those instances of social outcry carried forth from the people who were occupying the factory and those who opposed its demolition, and to the speculation of the building trade, which was, in the coming months, wanting to revitalize the whole area.
Una volta, diciamo, si è entrato in contatto con questa forma europea, sostanzialmente.
Once having come into contact with these forms of social struggle, essentially European, he tries to carry these same concepts back to the United States. So, the sense of solidarity of those struggling becomes an inspiration for Matta Clark. An especially inspirational was the idea of reusing rundown industrial areas, zones that are not predominantly used as residential areas, or zones substantially disused, which are instead to be revitalized and reborn as residential areas, or the idea of bestowing a social, more than economic status, value, nobility, shall we say, through the active participation of the people.
Sociale più che economica, attraverso l'attiva partecipazione della gente.
The last work in this room is splitting.
Splitting diventa la, praticamente la seconda occasione.
Splitting becomes practically the second occasion for Gordon to come into contact with the building with total freedom. This is after the experience in Genoa. It was very interesting because, essentially, the artist returns to New York, arrives in New York, and goes to the gallery that is handling his work. The fact that there is a gallery at all is no small miracle, considering the type of work he'd been doing up to this point. So he goes to Holly Morris Solomon and asks for a house. He says he needs a house to be able to continue the type of work that interested him. By chance, Solomon had just bought a house, a building, a detached house, in a suburb of New York, really a bedroom community in New Jersey. Solomon hands over this house to Gordon and gives him free rein. Gordon decides to make a vertical cut along the middle axis of the house, and he opens the house into two parts. Not happy to leave the cutting perfectly straight, since this would pretty much leave a simple perpendicular parallel cut, he decides to open the house substantially in a way to show more clearly the cut and the incision of the two elements of the house. So on the spot, he creates a building that is absolutely surreal and is even better experienced from the inside. In order to move from one room to the next, you have to overcome this abyss left by the cut. From the outside, it seems like a house struck into by a bolt of lightning, doesn't it? But in a completely geometric way, so that you understand immediately that it was not caused by an earthquake, but must be, obviously, another factor. So splitting becomes, perhaps, the first important cut realized by Matta Clark in the United States. This being in an area some ways from New York City, Holly Morris Solomon was completely aware that the art crowd, snobbish for sure, and also, let's tell the truth, a bit lazy, would find it difficult to come all the way to New Jersey to see his work. So she hired a charter bus and brought about 70 people to really live the phenomenon of splitting. Afterwards, the house was demolished. Those who went were able to see it in person. Those who do not, today, have the possibility to relive the experience through photos and videos, both presented here at Santa Maria della Scala, in which, exactly as I was saying, becomes one of the most famous interventions undertaken by the artist. Perhaps a monument that in some way brought him to the attention, in the first place, to his colleagues, other artists. Up until that moment, then, there had always been a bit of skepticism as well as a form of love, a form of support. They didn't believe in the potential of the artist. at the end of it all. However, when the house opens in two parts, as if it had been hacked open by a hatchet, the art world itself moves and is moved by the virtue of this operation, and little by little he begins to receive credibility and the reputation that will follow him for his rather different manner until his death in 1978 and of course after.
Aggiungere una credibilità e poi una reputazione che lo seguiranno per quanto sempre in maniera abbastanza alterna fino alla sua morte nel 1978 e poi dopo naturalmente. Il 1974 è un anno particolarmente
1974 was a particularly important year for Gordon because, as I was saying, he realized the splittings, the first macro-structural operation in the United States, and a little after, the opportunity to realize Day's End, which is another work, in my opinion, of very great importance, that is documented thanks to photographs and film.
Solo grazie a fotografie e un film.
Day's End is again a cut, and the structure involved is an abandoned warehouse on the pier along the Hudson River in New York.
Il pier in questione è il 52.
The pier in question is number 52. The whole area in the 70s was particularly depressed because the major part of the industrial activity that developed along the river was sent away. For this reason, it was essentially a deserted place that was inhabited, more or less, illegally by delinquents of every type. But around a series of piers, especially around pier number 52, there sprung up a sort of alternative lifestyle, shall we say, and in the specific case of the population that grew up around the structure, was principally formed of homosexuals and of people looking for, shall we call it, illegal sex. That is to say, it was an area of ill repute frequented by those seeking furtive encounters. Day's End is a work that occupied the artist for 3 months in a row. The artist moved himself into the building, and naturally, at the same moment in which a building of this sort, abandoned, was occupied after a realization this grand, in a way it is redeemed, saved, as it were, from its bleakness, and thus from being an element denigrated, it becomes the center of attention. Gordon decides to revitalize this area through what he himself defines as sculpture of light and water. These are elements: the opening of the city across the river, the water of the river itself, and, as was his practice, he realizes a series of three-dimensional drawings of the view, the renderings, we would call them today, of this structure that combines, completes, a series of intersections, of geometrical shapes where we find the circle normally made by the artist. The circle is important in his successive work, such as in Conical Intersect.
La fa normalmente da padrone. Poi vedremo che il cerchio è molto importante anche in un lavoro successivo, che è Conical Intersect.
It is truly Conical Intersect, the other work documented in this gallery. In 1975, Gordon Matta-Clark was invited to participate in the Paris Biennial, and he was given a building destined for demolition that had stood on the perimeter of the Pompidou Center, known also as the Beaubourg. That was, in those days, just being built.
Si tratta appunto di intersecare sostanzialmente l'edificio.
It deals with an intersection, essentially, of a building with a cone, in this case, a cone upturned and facing downward, that with its point pierces and essentially wounds the building completely from side to side. The side most visible facing the street, and that of the wound, is made larger so the observer, the passerby, has a privileged view of this cut, which allows the person on the outside to see into the building all the way to its guts, thanks to this cone, which has cut directly into the facade of the building. Changing then the relationship between inside and outside and reformulating those existing between contiguous interior spaces, Gordon Matta-Clark institutes a new rapport with the observer. Thanks to the adoption of inclusive strategies and the definition of concepts of what is public and what is private, the game of the role that watching a work of art generally imposes is put into crisis. One penetrates the conspiracy of silence and delineates private space. One watches, or does one watch you? Who observes the observer?
Conical Intersect diventa in qualche maniera un po' l'epitome dell'opera di Gordon Matta-Clark.
Conical Intersect becomes, in a way, the epitome of his work, at least his work realized in Europe. Certainly it is one of the works that gives him greater renown, not only because it happens in the center of Paris, in fact, during the Paris Biennial, it happens, among other things, in that moment. It was the workshop par excellence in Europe, and it was the most ambitious project ever undertaken. It is interesting that when architecture is born, the other one, which having been used by Gordon, dies, because in effect that building immediately after Conical Intersect was finished was demolished. So there is this very organic vision of the architecture, but I believe that it is a sort of memento mori. When a building had its dignity, shall we say, historically, when it becomes taken apart, dismantled, to put into place the next building, which probably will in its own time be destroyed to make way for the next building. So you see that here come into play excesses that are very important in the works of Robert Smithson, who, among things, was a very close friend of Gordon's, and to which he applied the idea of earth art in an urban context.
Earth art applicata a un contesto urbano.
It is a memento mori, but fundamentally a reflection of the nature itself of architecture. With his interventions, Gordon Matta Clark restores dignity to abandoned buildings or those destined to demolition. He is, however, aware of the ephemeral nature of his work and of his short and definitive life cycle. Because of this, all of the video and photographic material becomes unable to be disregarded by his interventions and the awareness that the documentation would not have had the force of an artistic expression brings him to an innovative and experimental use of photography, capable of sharpening the senses of vertigo and restoring the experience of the cuttings.
Poi a un certo punto l'artista ha un'altra intuizione.
Then at a certain point the artist has another genius idea, to use silver chrome to feed color, where essentially the photographic positives, that is not the photographic negatives but the positives, to talk in short of the positive side, are cut and then retaped together in a sort of tape used in many cutting rooms as well as in dark rooms. And by leaving the whole part of the film put together, well in view, so that in time it can be put together again with another positive onto another ektachrome frame, hence this creates a new photograph that assembles lots of different pictures. Then once this plate is printed in one large stair-step type image, naturally the observer immediately loses the idea that this might be initially little positives, but he finds himself in front of a colorful print. Colorful because, naturally, there is the very colorful tape that becomes a rather predominant element. The photographic collage creates one image. This form is the forerunner of digital montages, but this has been done completely by hand. Not happy stopping here, Matta Clark applies the same principle also to film, and on display in the small room, which opens to the right, is presented City Slivers, a film that is incredibly futuristic for its time.
E si tratta sostanzialmente della ripresa di New York.
It is, essentially, a shot of New York, a rather free shot of New York. It has been taken in more than one instance and then superimposed one on top of the other through a method crafted by hand, seemingly rather amateurish, but in reality rather complex. First, before the film is exposed, it's masked vertically, then along the length of the film with tape that does not let the light in, thus creates another band where another piece of film may be exposed, alternatively, according to where the tape is and where the first recording was. Then, one by one, the tape is removed from some of these bands, and new recordings are made on the film that was previously hidden. And in the end, what you see is a simultaneous portrait, or rather, three or four simultaneous portraits, all taken on different days, but exposed on the same piece of film. And also this, in a pre-digital era, is a sort of miracle, if you think about it. And exactly what he had done with the photographs, he has done to create, in the most grand way, a language far beyond its limits.
Con la fotografia, cioè far rendere al massimo un linguaggio al di là dei propri limiti.
The attention to city life reflects itself also in a series of photos that Matta Clark dedicates to graffiti, a series that again reveals how the artist is ahead of his time. His attention to street art, in fact, is almost 10 years before the arrival of artists like Basquiat or Keith Haring into New York galleries.